Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on spiritual, metaphysical, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show. Welcome to the show. Down-to-earth discussions on metaphysics, spirituality, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona, Arizona. We are Roslyn Reynolds, myself, Ivory Lanoue, and Terri-Anne Russell, who is off today. We have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where we see clients from all over the world. Today's topic is overcoming codependency. And I want to say hello to our listeners in Montreal, Quebec. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for, I see you constantly. We have consistent listeners there. So it's lovely to know you're there. And remember, we're always open to topics you want to hear about. Just email us, and that's in the show description. So I was telling Roz before we started the show, like I went through Codependence Anonymous. That's not why we're doing the topic today, but I do have the book still because it's so great for my clients and it's full of wisdom, all this material I got in that year I was in it. But I want to read straight from this, what's considered the Bible, Codependence Anonymous book. And what is codependence? It's a disease that deteriorates our souls. I think that's a really good way to put it. It affects our personal lives, our families, children, friends, and relatives, our businesses and careers, our health, and our spiritual growth. It's debilitating, and if left untreated, causes us to become more destructive to ourselves and others. Many of us come to a point where we must look beyond ourselves for help. So here are some characteristics of codependence. So I'm going to turn it over here. This is just some of them. They have difficulty identifying what they're feeling. They minimize, alter, or deny how they truly feel. They perceive themselves as completely unselfish and dedicated to the well-being of others. So that's a few. There's more, and I'll read those later. But it's like basically you become addicted to another person, and the other person becomes more important than you are. So codependency is an addiction to other people. And it is very unhealthy. And many of us are in those kind of relationships, and it doesn't have to be your love relationship. Many of us are in codependent relationships and don't even know it. And I just want to say, like, you know, my background's in the field of mental health, my degree's in psychology, and even in training, and even working at the psychiatric hospital, there really wasn't much discussion of codependency. And maybe because there we were dealing with serious mental illness and there were big issues to deal with. But I feel like it gets glossed over. And this is something that's so helpful for everyone. You know, it's not about branding yourself, like putting a label on yourself, but it's about the whole thing of a personal and spiritual journey of knowing yourself and seeing what your character flaws are, your issues you need to work on, so you can work on them. Nothing will get better if you can't even see you have a problem. And Roz and I were talking before the show a little bit too about, it's kind of tough because those of you who are light workers, you are codependent by nature. You're born into this world wanting to help people. It's your driving force. And that's okay, but you have to realize when you start suffering in any way, if your energy is being drained all the time, if you don't have time for your family, your friends, if you don't have any free time, if you're not able to take care, you know, enjoy hobbies anymore, if you're unhappy, if you're feeling used, if you're getting resentful, you've wandered into the codependent territory. It's a road you don't want to be on. I don't know, Roz, did you consider that you had some codependent traits in relationships that you've had in the past?
Definitely when I was young. And the interesting thing about it is absolutely you never heard that terminology. you never, I mean, this was like in the 70s, you know, you started hearing it a little bit, but the late 60s, early 70s to mid, you never heard any discussion of that. It was just considered, oh yeah, that's normal. I'm like, not really.
I think people saw it, but there wasn't a name for it yet. And Melanie Beatty wrote a book about codependency. I wish I could remember the name of it. I have it somewhere. I couldn't find it. I might have loaned it out to somebody who needed it. I actually went through that program because I was in a relationship that was so unhealthy. And many people who are codependent or light workers, inherently codependent, end up in relationships with people with addictions, and particularly a love addiction, sex addiction, which are two different addictions, which the same person can have both. You may find yourself in a relationship like that that's really hard to break free of. And I know for me, as a light worker and just who I am, like, I wanted to focus on the good points of this person. And I didn't want to give up on them because I felt like there was a part of them that truly wanted help. And I still believe that truly wanted help, that truly wanted to change. The other part of them seems to have, you know, have won over, but I didn't, that's the reason I didn't just leave, because I felt like I would be abandoning a person in spiritual need. So what I did was sacrifice myself on every level until, you know, 8 years into this relationship, I was dying. My organs were shutting down. I had to have exploratory surgery. You know, there was all kinds of things going on, things I'm not going to cover in this episode, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, I was really beaten down. And Roz knows, because I moved to Sedona about 5 months after that person finally got out of my life, moved away, got out of my life, and I started to clear. But when I met Roz, I was not who I am now. I was still down in that beaten down part of me, and still trying to recover my physical health. There's just so many things that can happen to us if we don't get out of it soon enough, if we don't recognize it. And I think we talk about this a lot, but there's a reason that boundaries are so important. And if you don't set boundaries and uphold them, setting boundaries is a piece of cake. I don't want you to do this. You know, no, that's a rule. So the boundary is, are you going to let them do it? What do you do when someone crosses that rule? That's your boundary. And if nothing happens, if you continue in the relationship, if you don't, no big changes, you don't follow through, then you don't have boundaries. So not having boundaries leads to being codependent, and it goes hand in hand. You'll end up in a relationship that's very unhealthy, to say the least. And again, it can be friends, it can be family. It doesn't have to be your romantic relationship. And sadly, it's not limited to just that.
It's very difficult when you're dealing with family members. You know, I mean, the relationships, yeah, they're tough. But when it's a family relationship that you started out in as a child, and especially if it's a sibling and they started out, you know, and so this is a very firmly established pattern of behavior from the time you were little. And you don't even sometimes, you know, realize anything about boundaries or saying, it's okay to say, I don't like this, don't treat me this way, et cetera. I've had a lot of people that I've known that didn't even awaken to that fact that they, you know, were being, I think of it more like emotional abuse, but you're not moving away from it. So there is a factor of codependency there. And keeping the peace, like in a lot of families, you know, keeping everything peaceful is, especially if there's lots of kids, is the number one thing. And wow. You know, all of a sudden one day you wake up and you go, wait, I don't like any of this. So it's very difficult. I I think we've made great strides, you know, in the last 20 years or so, especially for women, you know, where women start to really put their foot down and create those boundaries. But it's still tough.
It is. And I don't know why, Roz, but the name of that Melanie Beatty book that's so fantastic, groundbreaking in this field, is called Codependent No More. It's great. And I know I have it somewhere. It's really, really good. I feel so strongly, like the year I was in this, I don't think I really needed a full year of it, because once I was out of that relationship, like everything is so clear. And like, I just have strengthened my boundaries tremendously. But I stayed for that long because I kept thinking, as a person who counsels people, who helps people with their spiritual personal growth, that everybody should have some codependency training, like as early as possible. I think great, like junior high, really. Junior high, there should be courses in codependency, and maybe we'd all have healthier relationships right from the start. But we're not aware of these things. And so what I was reading to you earlier is like, there's denial patterns that codependents exhibit. And I want to read some more of these to you, because I think sometimes these lists are more effective than hearing a clinical description of what it is, but some specifics of what, how it exhibits. And maybe you'll see that in yourself or someone else that will be helpful. So some other denial patterns are lacking empathy for the feelings and needs of others. A light worker doesn't have that issue. Labeling others with their own negative traits. Thinking they can take care of themselves without any help from others, so being overly independent. Mask pain in various ways, such as anger, humor, or isolation. Expressing negativity or aggression in indirect and passive ways. Not recognizing the availability of the people to whom they're attracted. I listened to podcasts in the morning as I'm getting ready, and my current favorite is Dr. Wendy Walsh's show. She's great. And she was talking about how, if you are, this woman called or wrote in on TikTok and said she's involved with a married man at work. And Wendy said something like, the first thing to think about is, why are you attracted to someone who's unavailable? What appeals to you about someone who's unavailable? They're married. They're not available for a relationship. They're in one. So that's, you know, kind of a starting point with that. And then the other thing is the low self-esteem. Codependence, a true codependent, exhibits a lot of low self-esteem. And as you might imagine, the basis of this is in childhood, as most things are. You know, we are formed in our first 2 years of life, and by the first 5 years are pretty much who we're going to be. Isn't that scary? Just like, you know, you got to really pay attention to those first few years. So if you watched this dynamic with your parents, you're going to think that's the normal way to be. You're going to pattern yourself after that. And that's, you know, that happens in a lot of things, not just codependency, but a lot of other areas of life too. You probably are aware of that. I don't know. I feel like there is some of that with my parents. There is some of that, but it's also part of the older generation. My parents are in their mid 80s, and I think they're just a product of their generation.
Well, there was a lot of codependency, you know, yeah, and when they were young, and it was never seen as that.
Mm-mm.
You know,
you talk about it just being the way it is.
Yeah,
that's so true.
So I can remember, you know, when I was a kid, seeing situations, and I can remember a couple of specific situations where there would be a couple. And, you know, they would have kids at whatever age. But even as a child, you could look at those relationships and see, you know, like, this doesn't make sense.
Just doesn't seem right.
Especially, I mean, sadly, especially if there's abuse,
mm-hmm,
you know, emotional or physical abuse in those relationships. So I think the progress that we've made in the past 20 to 30 years is amazing, but we have to kind of like keep on track with it. Because unfortunately, we were talking about these patterns, and then, so of course, if there is a couple and they are experiencing serious codependency and serious emotional sort of angst and not being able to get along and not respecting each other's boundaries, et cetera. Well, you know, of course the kids grow up and think, oh yeah, well, that's how it is.
And they're going to seek somebody to recreate that with.
Exactly. So, I mean, it really requires constant vigilance, I think.
It does. I know for myself, like I was well aware how unhealthy that relationship was for me, and I hid it from my family. And none of them liked him from the start. I should have paid attention to that.
Red flag.
And it did separate me a lot from my family. He put a big barrier. He wanted to get me as far away from them and keep me away from them as much as he could. But it came to a point where I just realized how much it was hurting me. And he wasn't interested in therapy. So I knew as a person who worked in mental health, like you go to therapy yourself. You don't have to have the other person go with you. So I remember being at the therapy session and talking about this and her saying, you would really benefit from Codependence Anonymous, you know? And I'm like, well, what's that? And she told me about it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, I've never been to a 12-step group. I don't know about that. But I went, and I'm so glad I did. And I actually also went to another group that's, I think it was called SSA, like people who were partners of sex addicts or love addicts. That was super helpful. And I remember her saying, we were talking about this boyfriend, and I was very hung up on whether he was a narcissist or a sociopath. And she finally puts her notes down and she's like, Ivory, what does it matter? He is toxic. Get out. You can't be with somebody like that. You cannot handle it. You won't survive this. And that's what kind of woke me up. I'm like, you're right. Why am I obsessing about this? What difference does it make? Is that going to change the situation? No. So it propelled me. And I did go like at least one meeting, sometimes two meetings a week. And they were great. And I made great friends. I'm still friends with some of the people from that group in Carefree, Arizona. Thank you to you all. You were wonderful. I had a sponsor. She offered to be my sponsor. I'm like, I don't know if I need one, but I like you. So yes, be my sponsor. And she was super helpful because she'd been through this for a long time. So I always tell my clients when they come to me and I recognize the codependent nature of the relationship or of them, and I tell them about this, it's like, what you're going to get is tools. You're going to get tools that are going to help you with your marriage, your relationship, and every other relationship, and setting and maintaining boundaries for the rest of your life. It's incredible, the tools. And so I'm going to show you the cover of this book. Like you can buy these books at CODA meetings, Codependence Anonymous, and they're really cheap. I think this book was $3 or $4. And this is like the big Bible of codependency, and it's super helpful. I've got notes all through it. And then they sell other little things, like this little book that's sort of pocket size, that was like $2 or something. And it's called In This Moment Daily Meditation Book. And I like it because you open it up and in this one, it says for, you know, you look up the day. I'll say that this is the actual date. In this moment, I forgive. And then it's like, I forgive myself for hurting others. I forgive others for hurting me. And it has a little thing for you to read out loud and just help you embrace that and start putting it into your life. This thing is a little dog-eared because I went through it every day for years, doing one of those every day. And little by little, I just felt like I cleared more and more, like this veil that had been over my eyes and over my head, cleared and cleared. And I could see what a toxic soup I'd been living in and how I'd brought so much of that on myself by getting involved and staying involved. So how do you heal from this? You know, there's a lot of you who are probably listening and watching because you know you're codependent or you suspect you are. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of the show talking about the signs and symptoms. I'll do more of it later if we have time, but it's really about how to end it. So I do think going to CODA, or at least ordering these books online and reading them and absorbing the information, and there's online meetings too that you can go to, are crucial. It's just crucial. You're going to feel, you probably feel very alone, like you're the only one going through this, and it's embarrassing, it's humiliating. And then you go to these meetings and you hear from people who let it go 30, 40 years, and you realize, oh, this could be worse. Or they ended up in the hospital, or they ended up with a permanent disease like Addison's disease because their cortisol levels rushed through their body for years on end and unchecked and destroyed an organ in their body. So, wow. You know, there's always stories more intense than yours. And I don't wish that on anybody. It doesn't make me happy to hear somebody had it worse, but it does help me relax a bit that I'm not an idiot, you know, because I did feel so stupid because like I'm an intelligent person and I have background in mental health. How did I let this happen? But so many women, particularly, it'll be intelligent women, successful women, end up in these kind of relationships. It's of great appeal to that personality type in the men.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to have a little compassion for ourselves too, because culturally, you know, women are just usually not on the top of, you know, we're not the apex relationship person there. You know, it's very male dominated, and a lot of women are, you know, so cultured in that they don't figure it out for a long time. So when they finally do figure it out, boundaries, you know, have that they could have established in the relationship in the beginning are long gone. So I think it requires, you know, you having the expectation that your partner is going to work with you too. And I don't find that to be real common.
No, that's why I say I think it's so important to just get counseling for yourself, get somebody to help you see things from an outside perspective, put things in perspective for you, because you're not seeing things clearly. I guarantee that you're not. And if you're one of the unlucky people involved with a sex or love addict, then you're probably caught in that spiral of worrying about what they're doing or not doing. And that means you're neglecting yourself. And so I think one of the first things, even before you do counseling, is be vigilant with letting go of what the other person, whoever their relationship is to you, let go of what they're doing or not doing and focus on yourself. And I learned to ask myself, what do I need right now? Am I tired? Do I need to eat something? Do I need to just lay down a while? Do I need some time alone? Do I need to get out in nature? Do I need to drink water? You know, all these things that a body needs and our energetic field needs to be healthy. And the more you start focusing on your needs, it's not about being selfish. It's not about being selfish at all. It's about thinking, putting yourself in a place of as much or more importance than the person you've been obsessing about, because it is an obsession. It is unhealthy obsession. And it's tough. And people will tell me, oh, I feel like I'm so selfish if I do that. Well, that's part of the codependency, is you don't think you're important enough to pay attention to and to take care of your own needs. And that'll be reflected in things like, when's the last time you saw a dentist? When's the last time that you had any kind of pampering service done for yourself, like a pedicure, have your hair done, get a massage, reflexology, something that's pampering for you? When's the last time you got together with your friends? When's the last time you indulged in some of your favorite hobbies? If you can't remember, that's a good little wake-up call right there, because it means you've lost touch with your own needs.
Huge. That's a huge red flag, you know, and I think the majority of people, you know, we kind of joke, we talk about these red flags and these signs and everything, but the reality is actually seeing them, actually realizing what you're dealing with, just doesn't happen that often unless somebody's going, hey, wake up. And that's the purpose of your books and, you know, taking some counseling in reference to that.
It is important because your thinking has become skewed. Your sense of the relationship of yourself, of the other person, is no longer based in reality. And so an outside person's going to hit you with some reality and you're probably not going to like it. You might push back against it. Heck, I've experienced that in my work with clients sometimes, is they want the truth, but they can't handle the truth right now, but they need to hear it. And so sometimes people, and that may be you, need to go get some therapy and you're going to hear some truths. And then maybe you need to just have some time to think about that for a while, not instead of reacting, thinking about it, considering it. Because the truth is, when you really think about when the problems first arose in the relationship, and that's assuming this isn't like your parents or a sibling, because it'll be from day one, but let's say it's somebody else, like somebody who came into your life later. What were the first signs that it was unhealthy? And write those down and pin them to your bathroom mirror, because those are things you're going to be looking for in future relationships of any kind. And when you see one, for me, it's like this little internal red flag goes up and it's quivering, like on alert. A second one goes up and I'm on high alert. And sometimes that's enough for make me just pass on whatever it is, whatever the potential relationship was, to pass, because I'm not going to walk down that road again, consciously anyway. And it's unlikely it'll happen unconsciously, because I am paying close attention. And it's tough. And if it's somebody in your family, I think the best you can do is go back to, when did you first realize how unhealthy it was with your uncle, with your sister, your brother, whatever it is, parents? When did you realize that it's very unhealthy? And what did you realize? What did you see? Then those are the things you're going to write down and put up on a mirror. Sometimes, you know, we've talked about this, Roz, Pete, you can't change somebody else, right?
No, nope.
Impossible.
I always have this little saying that I say to myself, been saying it my whole life. You can only help people to the extent that they will allow you to help them. So if this is someone, and I have absolutely no doubt that many times these people are madly in love. They truly are. But the reality is, you have to look at that situation and go, I can only do so much here, because they have their own free will and their own idea about how things should go. And sometimes they're just completely unwilling to see and accept that some of the choices they're making are not pretty, are not good for them, they're not good for their partner, etc. So it's really important to get your perspective in order when you're dealing with this kind of stuff. And first and foremost, look at what you made this point a little earlier, what it has done to your life. How has your life shifted?
Oh my gosh.
Since you got into that situation. So it's really important.
I feel like I remember very clearly that it was probably 6 months or so after I moved to Sedona, when my daughter and I were talking on the phone, as we do often, and she started to cry. And she said, I have my mom back. Finally, I have my mom back. And she told me she felt like she'd lost me, because I wasn't the same person anymore. And it broke my heart, because I'm the only parent she has living. And I just felt so bad. And there was even a time in that relationship where things, just the people associated with the person that I was involved with, were going through addiction, and it kind of drug us into like trying to help them. And I was happy to do that, but it got so intense. I forgot my daughter's birthday. like my only child's birthday. And I remember she was an adult and she called me and I was, oh, hi, honey, how are you? And we're talking and she goes, did you really forget my birthday? And I still remember it. It just kills me. It's just like a dagger to the heart. But I needed that because it was another little wake up there of what was happening here. Like I'm getting dragged so much into someone else's drama and it's pulling me away from the person I love most and the relationship that means the most to me, my daughter. And that was not good. And there were some other things that happened too, that were just kind of putting it right in my face and it hurt at the time. And I didn't like it, of course, but it was the truth. And you have to face the truth if you want to get better. So you can fight it all you want. You can deny it all you want. But I promise you, if you know, go to a meeting, get some of this information, at least get Melanie Beatty's book that Codependent No More and read that, because it's very enlightening. Even if you are not true codependent, you just have some codependent tendencies. You need to know about this. I really wish this was addressed more frequently, but it is starting to be better. So we talked about low self-esteem being a sign. It's a really big sign of it. And that's one of the reasons people stay in these toxic relationships. And then compliance patterns, being too loyal, remaining in harmful situations too long, compromising your own values and integrity to avoid a negative reaction, putting aside your own interest in order to do what others want, hypervigilant regarding the feelings of others, afraid to express your beliefs and opinions, accepting sexual attention when what you want is love, making decisions without regard to the consequences, giving up their truth to gain the approval of others. I mean, there's more. It's not all a victim stance being a codependent. There's some things codependents actually do themselves, which perpetuate the negative relationship. So there's so much to it, but I feel like you kind of have to make it like a part-time job to recover from something like this, to overcome it. And if you're a light worker, boy, if you're born on this earth to serve people, it's going to be a constant little battle you're dealing there. And I have to do this regularly. And sometimes it's about that a client, I can't continue seeing a client because every time I see them, they drain my energy so bad. I might be sick for days or a week or more. You know, you have to think about your energy, your health, your work per one person who sucks your energy dry. And if they're not making progress, if somebody's not doing the work, frankly, I'm not interested in continuing to be their spiritual counselor, you know, and that's pretty true for most therapists of any kind, most counselors of any kind, is it's hard to justify. And Roz, we've talked about that. Like there's some people you just can't continue to have as clients.
Yeah.
It's sad, but true. But I've had people say to me, oh, you do that. And I'm like, yes, because I'm protecting myself. And I'm not just talking about the not seeing clients anymore, but just in general things I do. And I'll be like, yes, because if I don't do it, who will? Even if I was married, it's not that person's job to be vigilant about my personal needs, my mental health, my well-being. It's my job. So if I don't take care of myself, who's going to do it? Who knows what's going on with me better than I do? Doesn't mean I'm always going to see it or want to deal with it right then, but who knows better? So I think it's important. Roz, you've been through a lot with this yourself in your life, and I know it was when you were younger. Anything you can think of that you feel like really helped you?
Well, I think one thing that really helped me a lot was the realization that I did not want to model this behavior to my kids. And to, you know, be in a situation where someone is not even necessarily mistreating you, but just treating you in a very cavalier, you know, they don't appreciate you. They don't express any appreciation or any joy in spending time with you, et cetera. I mean, that's just the basics of what a really great relationship should offer you. And not showing that to my children, you know, was a very important issue. And I actually, you know, I was in a relationship and I made a choice not to have children in that relationship, because I just couldn't see how that was going to work for my best benefit, for their best benefit, and my partner's best benefit at the time. Very self-centered person. So I think we have to always look at it from the perspective of, you know, not just where we are today, but looking forward. And the one thing about codependent relationships is they don't tend to get better with time. Unfortunately, you know, you gotta realistically look at that. So I think that's a big fact. That was a huge, huge factor for me.
Well, especially if you're involved with an addict of any kind, they may not be ready to deal with their addiction. They may never be ready to get help with that. And they might go through multiple attempts before they achieve any kind of meaningful recovery. And that's outside of the codependent relationship you have with them. So first they need to deal with all of that for themselves before they're ready to even begin to be a healthy partner for somebody else. So you really got an uphill battle ahead of you if you're waiting for that person to get healthy. It's like two mountains they have to climb.
I also think when we look at these things, you know, we tend to blame ourselves. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I should have, you know, I should have said this. I should have. That's not it. You know, it's really about the expectation that both of you are going to be respectful, be loving, be kind, be sensitive for that other person. And, you know, there's just a lot of people that truly aren't capable of that because they are so mired in these demanding and codependent behaviors. Addiction, that's just a whole nother adventure.
It is.
that's just a whole nother impact on living. So then you start getting into multiple issues. And I think, you know, from the perspective of looking at it and realizing if that person is unwilling to seek counseling, you know, you mentioned that earlier that your partner didn't want any counseling. Well, you know, that's a real nice way of saying there's nothing wrong with me. You're the problem. So I think seeing that in a true perspective and being willing to say, okay, over it, just over it with that attitude.
That can also be a sign of them feeling like they don't think it's worth working on the relationship. They have no intention to put the energy in to work on themselves.
Yeah.
So they may absolutely know it's them and just have no desire to do anything about it. And I'm going to bring this up because so many of the women that I see, and there's been a few men too, who are codependent, are coming out of these relationships with love and sex addicts. And that was true for me. And I found this book. I don't even remember how. I might've just been looking on Amazon, and it is so good. I kept it. It's called Don't Call It Love. And it's for sexual addicts or love addicts, but I'll tell you what, it was recommended to me to read that book as someone who was involved with one. And it was a huge eye opener because it's from the perspective of the addict, and it helps you get into their head and understand what's going on and why you need to rescue yourself. You need to do what's necessary to rescue yourself. This person is completely focused on their needs, just like any addict. They're focused on the next conquest. They're focused on the next flirtation, whatever it is they're that they're addicted to, pornography, chatting, you know, erotic chatting, whatever. You know, there's many different things people can be addicted to. And you can't fix that. You can't make them. You're not going to be able to threaten them, blackmail them, anything like that. There's nothing you're going to be able to do to fix them. And that really, like, it just brought it home for me. And I'm like, okay. And it didn't hurt that my angel said, you have to leave this relationship to save yourself. That kind of does it too. You know, that was like kapow. And honestly, I was in the middle of reading this book at that time. So there just comes a time where you have to put yourself first. You have to think about, is this the life I want? If all you're doing is saying, how much longer can I hang in there? How much more of this can I tolerate? You're in a codependent, very toxic relationship, and that is not healthy. It is killing you little by little in all kinds of ways. So I can't emphasize enough how important it is to get yourself help and don't wait for them. This person, you know, whoever you're involved with, if it's a narcissist, a lot of them are narcissists, they come from a place of great shame, but they also will never seek help for themselves. And if they do, it would only be in some way involved with whatever their addiction is. So you can't pin your hope on them changing. It's about you changing. And I think you have to stand in your strength. You have to find that core of strength in yourself. You have to find your reasons you want to get better and get out of this and remember what life was like before this toxic relationship, before you were in this state. And what were the qualities? What did you have in your life then? Those are some good things to strive to get back into your life again. You probably are not going to be able to get them or have them in that relationship. Whatever, again, I'm not talking about just romantic, but anything. I know plenty of people who were in that group because they had narcissistic parents, or they had narcissistic roommate, housemate, you know, all kinds of things that people, generally it is a romantic relationship that drives people to finally get some help, but it's not the only reason. So if you want to know the names of these, you have questions, you can contact us. The email address is in the show description. I will be more than happy to send you the link to these books or the names of them and who wrote them or whatever you need, because I think they're so important. And I want to thank you all for listening, watching today. Thank you for being, for following our show. We appreciate it. Love having you here. Tune in next Friday. The topic is the Galactic Federation. That's going to set off a storm of excitement because our listeners just love these star topics, don't they, Roz?
They do. And it's interesting. I mean,
we could do a whole separate show with that and people would be like, oh, yay.
It's interesting to learn new things. And, you know, I just read that now the scientists are actually saying, yes, you know, we have definitely considered that the Galactics built the pyramids. Well, duh.
Yeah. And just so you know, there's like all these people who were in government, military, high level military, coming out and saying that there is something like a Galactic Federation and that they've known about it for a long time. So we'll be talking more about that. It'll be interesting. Even though Terry Ann is the one who does like starseed readings and things of that sort, Roz and I are interested in these things. You know, it's just been kind of shoved in my life since I was very young. Even though I don't do that for a living, but I'm fascinated with it. So again, thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.